I like my Surface Pro 3 a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is it a laptop or a tablet?
It's neither. It's a tablot. Tablot. It's a silly place. Hello to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Hello, Exploding Barrel Podcast.
I said to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Hello to you, me either. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, or hello.
Oh, yeah, what am I saying?
From the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
I like how I defended myself as if what I said made any sense. But I was like, no, I said it right. And I thought about it. Wait, that sounded like a crazy person. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for May 15th, 2015. This is Mike Manali, joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, good.
Yeah, good, good, good. So, we got some things to talk about. There's some news. So, MPDs and all that jazz, and a couple things we've been playing. We used to get our releases list from GameSpot, and they took down, like, that section of their site. So I have to find a new place to get game releases, but, yeah, so, I don't think anything's coming out this weekend. Everything's coming out next week, anyways, with Splatoon and,
The Witcher 3,
The Wild Hunt. So, we can get started with some of this MPD talk, though.
Okay.
The big thing is that the Xbox One outsold the PlayStation 4 this month.
Yeah, which is, like, nothing prompted it. Like, it wasn't, like, some crazy exclusive.
No, yeah, right, exactly. In fact, the only, like, PlayStation 4 is the only thing that had, like, a notable exclusive recently with Battleborn.
Bloodborne,
whatever the hell.
What's the Konami guy Kickstarter? That's what you're thinking of.
Something else with blood. I don't know. Everything's blood. Everything is blood. So, but yeah. So, yeah. Don't forget, it still is a cheaper system right now. It still has probably better bundles and stuff like that. I think that's just catching up with it a little bit. You do wonder when, like, the PlayStation 4 is going to go down to $50. Down $50, not $250. That'd be funny. Because it doesn't seem like Microsoft did that for the holidays, right? Like, temporary price cut, and then they just kept it because, like,
it worked.
Like I said before, like, Microsoft cares way more about beating the PlayStation 4 than, like, Sony cares about beating the Xbox One. Like, Sony's fine that they're just doing well. Although, I don't know, maybe there's some competitive juices are going to get going here.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Nintendo said that Wii U sales were, like, up. Like, for the first 4 months, they said it was, like, up 11% or something from that same time last year. So, nothing drastic, but, you know. So obviously, still heavily tailing the Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So, software-wise, number one was Mortal Kombat X. So, that did well. Then, it's kind of funny how everything is multi-platform now, because, you know,
they mixed everything.
Well, it's not by SKU. Like, if you do it by SKU, then stuff like Bloodborne and even Blade would show up on the list, but those games are kind of really handicapped here because this counts, you know, every release. So, like, number two is Grand Theft Auto 5, which is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, 360, PlayStation 3. Number three is Battlefield Hardline. 4, MLB 15, The Show. 5 is just Minecraft.
I mean, always.
Yeah, 6, NBA 2K15. 7, Call of Duty. 8, Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin. Interesting. 9 is Super Smash Bros., which, this counts the 3DS and Wii U versions. I wonder if that's almost why they like the weird naming convention.
Yeah, because if it's too different, do they not count?
right. And then number 10 is Borderlands Handsome Collection. So really the only notable new release on here is Mortal Kombat.
What was 10. A game that was in the top 10 for like 4 years? Was it New Super Mario Brothers? And we wondered like when it was ever going to go.
Yeah, it was one of the Mario games, yeah.
I feel like Minecraft is now that game. Yeah, it's just kind of always kind of be there.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I think it was, that DS one, like, the first one. Or maybe the Wii U one. One of them was just on there for a long time. It's funny, those last two ones, like, the 3DS one and the Wii U one didn't have nearly as much staying power, it seems.
Well, it was
they were very similar.
New, it's old, or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, Mario Party 10 is another one that would have made the list if it was on a SKU basis, as it were. So, I don't know, anything else in there you find interesting?
Not particularly. Kind of, you know, the new hotness was number one. Shocker.
The new hotness. What was Iga's Kickstarter? What's that called again?
The name's so generic, I can't even remember, honestly. Bloodline Ritual of the Night.
There's something with Of the Night. It's very obvious. Yeah, I'll look it up. It
very much felt like, let's put some words in the random word generator and get a title.
Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night.
I was close. I was pretty close.
It does look cool, though, and it's...
oh, yeah.
It's super well kickstarted so far.
So, but,
well,
I'll just buy it when it comes out.
Past 2 million already, like, hit all of its stretch goals. It already passed. They keep having to add stretch goals. The one was a bus rush mode. That's there. Now there's one for a retro bus rush? Bus rush. Boss rush.
Slow down. You're talking too fast.
I know. I'm sorry. It's too early. We usually do this like later in the day. I'm like mellowed out. That first like Coke Zero is still really kicking me up.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I don't know about boss rush mode.
I never cared for those, but people like them.
I do kind of agree, though. I wish that they would just say, look, if you keep donating more after we hit our initial stretch goals, whatever, we're just going to, you know, make the game better. We're not going to keep adding.
We're just going to tighten up the graphics in level 3, man.
Yeah, right? Because then, like, it's always the same crap.
Well, then that's how these games come out, like, 4 years later.
Yeah, or, like, on early
access. It's feature creep. Every design course I've ever taken, they're always like, beware of feature creep. Stretch goals are feature creep.
Yeah, whatever.
I
mean, I guess the idea is that, I mean, I get it from in a way because it insensitizes people to keep donating.
Yeah, because otherwise people might be like me and be like, well, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I get it in a way. This is another thing, too, that we're like, and it's not like they're being dishonest about it, but they have that concept art for what the game will look like that has, like, this beautiful 2D stuff, and it looks super cool. Like, Mighty No. 9 is like that, too. And then, like, the real game is more of a 3D engine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're doing here, but I almost wish this would just look like this really cool-looking concept.
Yeah, I know.
But the game looks cool. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of been a while since we had... What was the last one of these?
The Kickstarter success?
No. Like, Metroidvania Castlevania. Is it that Portrait of Ruin?
Well, there was that DS? One kind of that came out for the 360, but that didn't really count. Well, it was on 3DS and 360.
That... Oh, like, no. The way around. That thing was weird.
Yeah. Probably, yeah, I guess. I mean,
that Portrait of Ruin.
I guess the thing for me is I'm kind of ruined on Ori and the Blind Forest. Like, it needs to be at least as good as that.
Right. Well, I mean, they're different, you know? And there was, it won't look as good as that, I don't think. With the Unity engines and all that stuff. So what else did we want to talk about?
So we got a big info dump on Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Not Victory.
I don't like Syndicate as a name. I guess that's a small point, but it makes no sense. For a game set in Victorian London, focusing on, like, gang street warfare, I don't know where you get Syndicate from.
Yeah, whatever.
Syndicate is, like, spy stuff to me. Like, you'd call, like, a James Bond game, like, Syndicate.
Or the game Syndicate.
Yeah, or the game The Syndicate, which I don't think anyone played. Ooh. So tell me about Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
So it's the next Assassin's Creed, the big.
You could have wondered if just like, well, it's the next Assassin's Creed, and our next story.
Yeah, well, the big mechanic seems to be this like kind of hook shot thing.
Yeah, that seems nice. So it makes kind of climbing up easier.
Yeah, they're just you just zip up roofs and you can zip across. Mm-hmm. It's kind of Batman-y.
Mm-hmm.
With that grapnel thing he has.
There seemed to be a little bit of a Shadow of Mordor in there, and like at the end, there's like a kind of like a. Like a gang fight between your gang and like the other like gang leader and their gang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be cool if we don't know this, but like since it's got this concept of these gang leaders you're taking out, it would be cool if it used like a nemesis system kind of thing.
Right.
The one thing about the gameplay reveal that I was pretty lukewarm on was the chariot chasing.
Well, it seems like a decent idea, but like
it just looked clunky.
It looked really weird. It looked kind of out of place. Like. Because I told you, I just beat Grand Theft Auto V, and in this gameplay, like, video, this person's riding on a chariot. I think he took out more, like, pedestrians in, like, that 2 minutes than I did in all of Grand Theft Auto V, like, my 30-hour playthrough.
Well, that's just,
big hero of the people, woo!
I already know how it's going to control. And I know games have done this, I can't think of a specific example, but, you kind of, like, just gently nudge the analog stick, and then you just, like, turn 90 degrees, and you're constantly weaving because you can't get it to go straight.
Right.
Like, I can already tell that's how it's going to control. And I feel like if you're controlling a horse-drawn carriage, like, the horse isn't going to run into a wall.
Right.
Like, and Red Dead did that. The horse... you guided the horse, but the horse went like an animal.
Yeah, everything's just used Red Dead controls for horses.
It really should. But, what was really funny was the video they put out. Did you end up watching it where they basically acknowledged that Unity was a disaster?
I didn't see that one.
It was kind of like, Like, oh, we're just so sad because, you know, we worked real hard on this, guys. We spent 4 years making this game, and for it to come out bad was real disappointing for us and kind of hurt our feelings. Like, well, you know.
It seems like this is kind of a safe Assassin's Creed. Like, they're not even trying multiplayer.
Yeah, there's no multiplayer.
Like, that was, like, their big selling point in Unity, which was a weird selling point. The four-player co-op. Like, yeah. How many people were really, like, into that four-player co-op?
I forgot it had co-op. I was thinking just the competitive multiplayer. That's right.
Dude, on the box of the game are those four assassins. That was, like, their big thing. And it's like,
how funny is that? I forgot that even existed.
Yeah, right. But yeah, they're not doing anything like that, which is weird because there's two main characters, a boy and a girl. So we don't have to worry about that.
Does that mean like you can pick which one you're playing as at any time?
I don't know if it's like that.
Or you go back and forth?
Well, it seems like they're setting it up like the guy is more of a like brawler type and the girl is a bit more...
It's like cerebral.
Traditional assassin.
The cerebral assassin.
Cerebral assassin, yeah. But no competitive multiplayer, which I think has been there in every game since Brotherhood.
Since Brotherhood, yeah.
Which is usually fun. I remember we enjoyed it a lot in 4. We were playing it a few nights. Yeah, it was kind of fun. Yeah, there's never anything like I would play all the time.
Yeah, but it's a fun... Maybe that's the problem. For as much resources they put into it, for it just to be called a fun distraction, isn't worth the
cost.
Well,
I think, too, that they need to like really get the resources on making sure this game works right this time.
Yeah.
They kind of can't have another Unity problem. I'm almost tempted to start Unity finally. I'm sure it's... I think they're pretty much done patching it at this point. It's as good as it's going to get.
I started it and played, I guess, what you'd consider the prologue. Mm-hmm. That's as far as I've gotten. And I didn't see any major problems yet.
Yeah. How was it?
Fine.
Assassin's Creed.
That's the thing. It was very kind of like, yeah. It is kind of goofy that, you know, you're in France and everyone has an English accent. Only because... We were in Italy, and everyone had Italian accents.
Yeah.
And they even had, like, an in-game explanation for why they sometimes spoke Italian.
Yeah.
It was, like, the translation software glitching. Like, that was cool.
Yeah. There's something, like, epic about, like, that Ezio trilogy. And it felt kind of important in a way. I feel like that's kind of gone.
Yeah. Well, it felt very cohesive. And I feel like they tried to do the same thing with Connor by having all these... generations of characters, like, you know, actual fathers and grandfathers. It never really came together in the same way.
Right, yeah.
I think part of it, too, is just Ezio just, by coincidence or design, just ended up being a very appealing character.
Are these characters even, like, descendants of Desmond anymore? Did they stop with that before?
I have no idea.
Like,
I couldn't tell you.
French guy still?
I couldn't tell you.
It's like, that was, like, kind of... It was, like, kind of cool for it when, like, everything was kind of tying together in that way. Not so much in that stupid... Illuminati bullshit way or whatever. But, yeah. All right, let's see. There's a couple.
Well, Gears of War Remastered for the Xbox leaked, kind of.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I mean, it did.
Well, it's like the people who are, like, testing the game just, like...
Like, put game DVR clips online.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I hate fucking Polygon's website. I watch a 30-minute ad that plays back flawlessly, mind you.
Right.
And then it can transition through this 15-second clip that had a choppy frame rate, never hit HD resolution, where I could just see a grunt, like, shooting some Marcus Fenix bots that weren't doing anything. I was like, oh, God, what a revelation. Anyway, these guys had their live accounts banned, and it was erroneously reported that their consoles were bricked remotely. That's not the case. They can't connect to live. Like, the consoles still work offline.
Yeah, that whole thing got, like, sensationalized and kind of...
Yeah, everyone's like, how dare they? I'm like, because they signed a contract.
I had 2 points to that. First off, it was like, everyone was just wrong and they didn't break them. Second off, everyone was like, this is outrageous. I'm like, why?
Yeah, they signed a contract saying they weren't going to do exactly what they did.
Yeah,
like, and I'm sure it said in that contract, if you do this, we're going to do this to
you. People are like, what's to stop Microsoft from just bricking everyone's consoles? I'm like, well, what's to stop just, like, your neighbor from coming over and shooting you in the head? I don't know.
Yeah, like...
What does that
relax.
Mean?
Yeah, calm
yeah,
down.
Yeah, Microsoft's not going to start breaking all your systems for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, don't leak their next major release, and maybe they won't break your system.
Yeah, right?
It was really weird to be how upset people were, like, Microsoft really sticking it to the man. People are all, like, I understand corporations are usually bad, but, like, people are, like, so immediately, they just want to take that side, no matter what's going on. Kind of like with that Simpsons thing with, like, that voice actor who quit. I don't know what happened. You know what happened.
Maybe he walked in and said, give me $1 billion.
What I can't tell you is everyone immediately blames Fox for it.
Yeah.
No matter what. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is.
Rupert Murdoch, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
Final thing, Nintendo had a little tease for E3, and they're bringing back the World Championship.
Cool.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't think it's going to be like, they're not going to literally play that cartridge. They're probably just going to do like a series of like competitive gimme things. They'll probably play Mario Kart and Smash Brothers. Or
I was just confused. Reggie said, we're going to show even more games E3. I was like, what are you going to show besides Star Fox and Xenoblade?
Mario Maker and Yoshi. The Woolly World. There's going to be other things. There's that Fire Emblems coming out for the 3DSs. There's two. There's Fire... I hope it's not called Fire Emblem If in America.
What if? Fire Emblem. Hashtag, what if?
What was that tagline
for? The Indians. Like 2 years ago. It was like the worst thing.
What if we did it? What if we were awful? Yeah. What if we actually won some games? They could bring it back.
Yeah, right? Okay, anyway, what are you playing?
Oh, stuff. I beat Grand Theft Auto 5, which is the first time I ever beat a Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a first.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was good. I mean, I'm glad I played it the way I did, where I just beelined through, like, the story missions. Because you can go back and do everything else. And even that is, like, way more than enough game. I mean, it was, like, about, I want to say, like, 25 hours. Because, like, it gives you the gameplay time by character.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Now, do you feel this game is deserving of all the critical praise it gets?
Maybe not so much. I mean, it's hard to say, because, like, just technically on, like, the scale of the open world, it is ridiculous. Like, I'll tell you what, when you compare it to, like, Watch Dogs, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It's definitely, the kind of game it's trying to do, that sort of urban open world thing, it's definitely the best one of it I've played. But, you know, it's weird, because, like, so much, like, there's a lot of times where you're doing a mission, and it's like, there's a mission I had to go to, like, a shipyard or like a, you know, a bunch of containers everywhere, and like I had to pretend to be like a guy who worked there, so like I was just like on like a heavy machinery, like moving large crates, and it's literally, you know, push, you know, moving large crates, and I'm like, well, this is like a job, is this really fun, you know, and I'm like doing this for a while, and it's in, there's things like that all the time, and whenever these things happen, you only do them one time, and they have their own set of controls. So, like, there's just a thing on the top left tells you what to do. So it's not like a...
It's like, can't that just be a cutscene?
Right. Like... It's like a thing. Right. And it's like, even if, like, you do it one more time in the game, it'll happen, like, 10 hours later. And, like, I don't remember. And then it's like, here's how you do it again. I'm like, okay. So you just, like, read, push X. I pushed X. Push... It's, like, literally, like, almost like putting a Lego set together. Except not quite as rewarding, you know? It's like, what do I do? All right. No. So, yeah, it's a little interesting. Some of the missions were really cool. So usually the heist ones were neat, like when you're switching between the characters and stuff like that. The ending almost felt like... It does, like, a branching ending thing where there's, like, three choices. And, like, the one is clearly, like, the one you should do. Like, the canon one. And it seems like it ties up loose ends really quickly out of nowhere in this one mission. It was weird because the game was so long. And then, like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, crap.
Wrap this up.
The game's done. Let's go. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't think it's, like, changed my mind that Grand Theft Auto was somehow great. And I still think, like, the tone of it is weird. I still think it's lazy when people are just like, you're satire. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
They just can do, like anything. Because, like, sometimes it's really dark and kind of taking itself seriously. Then other times it's absolutely ridiculous. And, again, I don't know. It does sometimes feel like that blanket of satire is just literally there, like, as a blanket to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could just be fucking ridiculous. Let's rape
people.
It's like
South Park.
Yeah, this guy raped a guy, but we told a joke, so it's funny. And it's like, that's kind of funny. It's like, you know, it's all right. I'm gonna say, like, they can't do these things. I just almost wish it was a bit more sincere about it.
They need to go. I've been saying this since the 3, I think, but they need to go one way or the other.
Yeah,
like Red Dead went serious all the way. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's, I guess that is the point. I kept thinking about something like Red. I was like, Red Dead was so much better than this game.
Well, even look at Saints Row. Like, they finally said, okay, we're just going to be ridiculous.
Right.
And it's a much better game.
I think it's
for
a problem now. You can't up ridiculous Saints Row.
You can be ridiculous without having to have superpowers.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. It's like, you know, criticizing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I know.
They're making $1 zillion. Clearly, they're doing something right.
Right.
I'm just saying, maybe it's not like, it's not a thing for me where I can play it and I appreciate it and I enjoy it, but it's not a thing like, this is like the best game ever.
Right.
It's fine. It's good. They did a good job.
Okay.
It was impressive. I don't know if I loved it.
I see.
Seeds. Besides the seeds, let's see. I combined the sides and let's see into a word.
Well done.
Because I'm still like in my weird high energy morning kick. I keep my apartment like a little cold intentionally, kind of keeps me up. Otherwise, I just like want to lay down and sleep. I'm reviewing Splatoon. I don't know how much I can say about it, but I want to talk about it a little bit. So I guess I'm just, you know, throwing the dice there. But it's fun. It's really neat. A couple things I like about it real quick. One, the single player mode, which they haven't really talked about.
Yeah, I didn't even know it had a single player mode.
It's good. It's like almost, it reminds me of like a Mario kind of thing. Like one of the 3D Mario games. Like every level has like a different like trick to it.
Did you see?
What?
Someone, they made like the timeline thing, like the Hyrule.
Yes! Historia.
It was like Super Mario Sunshine. It's like Mario succeeds and Mario fails.
I was dying. There's a notion of like a Mario fails like
and the world time. Ink and everyone turns into these squids.
It's funny because you can almost see Mario fails. I do remember when that thing came out. It was like, because everybody, the big thing for a while was that there was two timelines, because there was like a time split. Then there was like a third one. Link fails. What does that mean? Because it made sense before, because it's like, well, there's a timeline split because of time travel.
Yeah, now, this was just chaos
theory.
Now it's
just hypothetical.
Yeah.
Well, now we can just, what if Link failed in fucking Link's Awakening? What happens then?
Yeah, we can fail in any of
these. What does this mean? What if I failed and got to get up this morning? Did I create an alternate timeline?
Yes, you did.
Where I was late to work? Do I need to make a paragraph? Mike fails. We need just more stupid. We need a Star Wars movie now that was after episode 4 where Luke fails.
No, I was just reading about this today. There was a comic series called Star Wars Infinities.
Oh, I think
where
I actually
they took
about.
Like one thing and made it a little different. And like the one for Empire Strikes Back was like Han didn't find Luke in time and he dies. And, like, Leia becomes a Jedi, and Han Solo shoots Darth Vader and kills him dead on Dagobah. And, like, it's just crazy. They blew up Cloud City and Lando,
Guess Luke fails.
Mario. Anyway, what about Splatoon and
Mario fails. I love that.
Mamma mia!
It's, like, so serious and stupid crap.
Mario fails, but he has 97 lives because they hand him out like candy, so it's okay.
Mario. That's so fucking stupid. Link fails. What the hell is that? What if, like, Link succeeds, but just not quite as well? Like, he beat Ganondorf, but, like, Zelda tripped and died. What's that alternate timeline? Okay, sure. Splatoon. Yeah, single player.
Hey, get it together. I'm going to start talking about Star Wars Commander again.
Oh, fuck that. No. Yeah, Splatoon's good. The single player is really good. Like I said, like, it's like there's almost like an open world and like you have to kind of get around. And it's cool because it really is like a shooter platformer game, basically, with like all like the covering stuff in ink and like hopping in and out of it. You know, like, it's like, you know, like, I don't want to specifically say what's in the level. That sounds like pre-canon territory. But yeah, it's like Mario, where every level has like a different gimmick or like a new enemy or something else that like makes you think about things differently. And they have like boss fights that are really cool at the end of them. It doesn't seem like it's going to be super long, like as long as a Mario thing. But that's because you have the multiplayer. And the multiplayer is fun. You know, it is what it is. A couple problems I have right now. One, there's like a rotation of maps. So like every day, and I think they change it a few times a day, Jeff Grubb was telling me, there's only two maps at a time that are in the rotation.
It's weird.
Right?
Because, I mean, you know, if you want to sit down and play for an hour.
Right.
Doesn't that get kind of old?
Yeah, no, I literally played for an hour yesterday, and I was like, and there are times where you get that same map three times in a row, and you can't really do anything about it. It's like, what the, But I don't get the philosophy behind it. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I hate to say it, it's like a Nintendo thing to do.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Like, Nintendo makes something good, and then they have to do, like, something weird.
Something dumb that, why did you do this?
Right, so yeah.
And I'm sure they have some explanation that makes no sense.
It's not like they have a ton of maps already anyway, so it's kind of weird. One other thing, too, just because, like, the nature of the game, where it's all about, like, who can cover the most you know, space with paint, which is cool because it's different from, like, oh, just worry about your kill-death ratio. The problem, though, is, like, more so than, like, in a other team-based shooter, if you lose a person on your team, it becomes really hard to, like, compete.
When it's uneven.
Because you just need manpower to, like, cover, you know, the level with
ink. Does the lack of voice chat make playing in a team-based game like this difficult, or does it kind of, like, does the design of the game allow it to
work? I think it's fine, but I don't know. I think you agree. Whenever I play team shooters, I only use voice chat if I'm playing with my friends anyways.
Yeah.
I don't ever use it like, oh, I'm just going to get into Halo's matchmaking. So we're just going to,
like, turn on, like, Skype on our phones or something?
Yeah, I guess. When you just play Titanfall by yourself.
Oh, no, really, no, I agree, but I'd like to play Splatoon with you, and I'd like to voice chat while we're doing it.
Yeah, that will be a little more annoying, for sure. Definitely seems like it's a really cool game.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to play some more of it. I have a copy of Witcher 3 Wild Hunt that I got so I could stream some of it, so I think I should play it for, like, an hour first before I just start streaming it.
No, going raw.
No, it's going to be, first off, I kind of need to, like, pay attention that first hour, see what's going on. Who wants to just, like, watch, like, the first hour of, like, cutscenes and shit?
Everyone, apparently. It's always, you know, Kotaku, see the first 30 minutes of The Witcher 3.
Well, everyone else is doing that. I'm not.
You're going against the grain.
Yeah, right. I want to, like, get to, like, a part where it's open world and I'll just walk around and do shit. It'll be cool.
Yeah, I am. The reviews for that game are very positive. It sounds like something I will enjoy very much.
Yeah, and I'm kind of going into it blind. I played, like, maybe half an hour of Witcher 1. I just, like, kind of got distracted and never finished it. And none of 2.
I played a good chunk of 1. I played through the first, like, chapter or whatever you want to call it of 2.
Did you get a free copy of 2?
For the 360, yeah. But, I think I bought it on the PC when it was, like, $2 or something. That was the thing. It was always like, well, this kind of runs good on my PC, but I wish it was running better. And it's like, I didn't go into it super gung-ho because of that. I was like, oh, I'll get a computer soon. That was like 4 years
ago. It'll be interesting to compare how this game looks to Dragon Age Inquisition, like the other kind of, like, large world role-playing game. Because this one doesn't have a PlayStation, like, 3 or Xbox 360 version.
No, this is only next-gen and PC.
So it should look better, in theory.
You see, like, how they're handling the resolution on the Xbox One? It's like a dynamic resolution.
No.
It goes between 900p and 1080.
Yeah. You know, man, I'm more
all the anyways. All the reviews so far have been early debug code on PS4, and they cited a lot of frame rate issues, but they said that's going to be fixed in a day one patch. Like, they actually sent, like, debug PS4 systems to the reviewers. So
weird.
I'm curious to see, like, what the actual on the day, like, performance reviews are.
This is, like, reviewer problem stuff, but it's one thing with Splatoon. The code they gave me for my game that I downloaded, it's the game, and it's like, you know, it has access to, like, its own servers. But when the actual game comes out, my copy will no longer work, and they'll, like, send me a retail copy, and none of my progress will carry over.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know, it's a little annoying. Give me the game. I just don't understand it. Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, well.
Let's see. You play anything else?
I've just been playing, when I could sneak away to it, I've been playing Marvel Heroes 2015.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. Like, they've done a lot to kind of, for one thing, they really increased the performance of the game. Like, it plays a lot more smoothly. But they're doing a thing right now, which is nice. In light of Avengers coming out, all the Avengers are, like, free-to-play characters. I don't know if that's temporary or not.
Mm-hmm.
But before, it was, like, you know, like, Black Panther and Daredevil and kind of, I think The Thing was one of them, kind of more, like, tertiary characters. Although now, you know, Daredevil's popular. He's got a show. But actually, during the release of Guardians of the Galaxy, when I was super hyped on that movie, I actually bought Star-Lord and his movie costume pack. So it's like a Guardians of the Galaxy game with all the other Marvel characters in it for me. I even have Groot as a team-up companion that I got for free at Christmas. Hey. But he's the comic book version and he has Christmas lights on him.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
You see that for Diablo 3's
the cow third level
anniversary. Yeah,
yeah, it's we need to play that this week.
Yeah, it's like the treasure goblins, like, drop, like, a portal when you kill them that takes you to the cow level.
Well, it's like a cow treasure goblin.
Yeah, cool.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's fun. I can't believe that game's 3 years old.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
It feels newer just because, like, that newest version of it was like the best one. It's like what I think of now.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. Like, I wish they would put Marvel on the console. I feel like it'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel 2015, right.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Did you see they're bringing Divinity Original Sin to PC?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, to console.
Now, which one was which? Is that the one?
It's not the one that was made by, like, the guys who did Icewind Dale and stuff. Okay. This was I mean, there were two other Divinity games, but, like, publisher meddling always made them a little less hardcore RPG than they wanted to. This is the one where you actually had two characters you made.
Okay.
And whenever you had to, like, choose dialogue trees for them, you kind of played, like, rock, paper, scissors against yourself to see who would get to talk.
Oh, okay.
It's very good. Apparently, this new, like, it's an enhanced edition, which is also going to be a free update on PC, but it's so different, like, your save file won't carry over. But they, like, rewrote the story, recorded full voice acting, rewrote the ending. It sounds pretty big.
Rewrote the ending. Was the ending not liked?
I don't know.
This is a Mass Effect 3 thing?
Nah.
Oh, it could be interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
That's it for me.
All right, then. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Bro Podcast. Oh, what's that thing that linked to us on Facebook?
Spreaker. Yeah, if you're listening to us from Spreaker, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Hope you didn't mind our giggle fest earlier.
Yeah, this is what the show's like sometimes.
That was a good one.
We haven't done that in a while.
That was good. Yeah. I have an idea what this episode's going to be called. So thanks for listening. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Hey, you just did some work on ebpodcast.com.
Yeah, it's all new and shiny. I think it turned out nicely.
Is it time for a new logo?
No, that's the thing. I never updated the website when we did the last new logo. That's true. I was like, I should fix this.
All right, then. So we're on ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You said someone's doing our...
We forgot to check that, didn't we?
Yeah.
There might have been something from last week, I don't know.
Oh, I'll look it up real quick. You go now and tell everybody.
And sorry for the late show last week. We're uncles! Abigail May was born Sunday. I've been an uncle. Yeah. And for me, it's like, another one, a baby. Hey, I don't have to take care of this one. I got spit up on real good yesterday.
Ew.
And she was smiling as she did it, I tell you.
You're gross.
I know. Well, it's babies. Okay, I'm still vamping. You load this yet?
I got it.
Oh, you got it.
Well, just Alex was saying real quick about, because we were talking about the Universal theme parks up in Nintendo.
Uh-huh.
You say that he thinks it would be cool if he had an F-Zero roller coaster. Which, again, it sounds cool. That's one of those things, though, because,
but they haven't made a new F-Zero game in how long?
Right, it's like that in, like, the Star Fox simulator. Like, look, this stuff's going to be Mario and Zelda.
Yeah.
You know? At least at first, that's what we're going to get. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Bye-bye.